Malachim Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Eliyahu is going to be taken from Elisha, and he says, if you can see me when I am taken from you. Some interpret that, by the way, to mean if you see me after I have been taken from you. That those who are tremendously worthy in Klal Yisrael have had the chance to see Eliyahu Hanavi, to speak with him, to interact with him, to learn from him. Like all the stories in the Gemara about all of the great Tanoim who had the experience of learning with Eliyahu Hanavi or seeing him. Chassidish Rebbes, there are tales told that way. So Eliyahu Hanavi's presence will remain with us, as we said last time. But you have to be worthy. Vayihi, hema holchim holoch v'daber. Now, Vayihi is usually an expression of tragedy, and the taking of the greatest Gadol Hador and Navi from Klal Yisrael is certainly tragic. So it was that they were walking and speaking as they walked. The Gemara Yerushalmi says they were speaking Divrei Torah between them. They didn't let the imminent departure of Eliyahu distract them. Some say they were talking about Kriya Shema. Some say about the creation of the world. Some say the Geula Shalema and rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Some say appropriately they were talking about the Maisa HaMerkava, the great mysteries of the heavenly chariot, because of course that's going to play a role right now. But as long as they're speaking Divrei Torah, Eliyahu can't be taken away, as we know from the stories of David HaMelech. So Hashem sent a Malach to bring Eliyahu to Shamayim, but as long as they were speaking Torah, he was powerless. So he finally interrupted them and came between them. And the moment that they stopped, that was when Eliyahu was going to be taken away. Behine rechav esh v'susei esh. And behold, there was a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Vayafridu bein shenehem, and they separated between the two of them. Vayaal Eliyahu basi'ara hashamayim. And Eliyahu arose and went up in a mighty wind to heaven. Now that's an awful lot of what's going on. So first of all, the image that is usually interpreted by children's books, by general culture, is that Eliyahu climbs onto the chariot and rides it to heaven. But the words of the Psukim make it pretty clear that it wasn't there as an Uber to take Eliyahu up. It was there as a vision to separate between Elisha and Eliyahu at the moment that Eliyahu rose into the world of the spirit. There's only so much that a mortal, physical human being can perceive. And this moment of transformation was something that could not be perceived. Now, what does it mean then that he went up to heaven in this mighty wind? So, some say that Eliyahu's entire body was vaporized, was burnt up. And there's a lot of discussion in the Malbim, very Kabbalistic, about the body as the klipah, and as the physical remnants of the person, but that the spirit, the neshama that is within, is removed and becomes united with Shamayim and is a spark of holiness, a spark of heaven. So going up in a wind and a fire would be appropriate. And we know certainly that Eliyahu's cloak was left behind. So if the body was burnt up in a holy fire, then like a forge is usually the mushel given, where you melt all of the slag away and keep only the fine silver that you're trying to form into something. So some say that his body went up to Shamayim intact and that he is physically there so that he can come back to ride the donkey and announce the Mashiach later. Basically, the answer to something like this is we honestly do not know. Was he carried through the air to Gan Eden, as some of the Chazal say, in a very alliterative way? Hard to know. Now, Eliyahu, like Moshe Rabbeinu, remained strong and in great shape until the very moment of his death. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, lo chol hasa einov lo nas lecho. Eliyahu was in a similar situation. So why didn't he die like Moshe Rabbeinu died? So, for one thing, his task on earth wasn't complete. So he couldn't die in a normal way where he is never to return, perhaps excepting, you know, Tchias HaMeisim when the time comes, because his mission was to prepare the Jewish people for the great Geula, for announcing and heralding the coming of Mashiach. Hinei anochi shaleach lachem eisei liyoha novi, says Malachi the Navi. And so, unlike, for example, Adam HaRishon, who was originally created to live forever till he ate from the Eitz Hadas and was cursed with eventually death, Eliyahu had an ordinary human body that was designed to deteriorate over time. But nevertheless, he gets a kind of eternal physical life that nobody else in Jewish history got. The man Loes brings a couple of comparisons. Moshe walked among the Malachim even when he was alive. So his great accomplishments on Har Sinai, in Shamayim almost. Eliyahu's spiritual greatness came through being involved in the physical world at all times. So Eliyahu's greatest moment was reached by keeping the neshama with the body, because his accomplishments had been with the neshama and body linked. Whereas Moshe's neshama traveled far beyond physical limits, even during his life. Eliyahu also had zeal and devotion, but an intolerance for human faults and frailty. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, even when the Jews committed the Chet HaEgel, begged for mercy on Klal Yisrael. So Moshe's neshama didn't need the body anymore. Eliyahu still had a kind of repentance to do by keeping his body with him. They also point out, the man Lois brings a beautiful third shot, that in death, Moshe's body was united with the earth of the Holy Land in which he yearned to live in an extended way, because he was buried on Har Nevo. But Eliyahu raged against the Jewish people, brought curses of fire and drought on Eretz Yisrael, so it would not have been right for his body to rest within it, which is very interesting. So now, Elisha is left alone. So let's at least do two psukim today, even if we go a little tiny bit over time. So, the Elisha, pasuk yud beis, ro'eh. So Elisha saw, which is a sign that it was fulfilled, that Eliyahu told him, if you can see, you're going to get your gift. B'hu mitza'ek avi avi. And he cried out, my father, my father. Rechev Yisrael ufarashav. He saw the symbolism of the chariot and the horses. Chariot of Yisrael and its horsemen. Yisrael, perhaps, meaning that his tfilos protected Klal Yisrael like an army of chariots and horsemen. So it was a symbol of Elisha, of Eliyahu leaving the Jewish people. And on that day, the Gemara says, the kingdom of Rome was established. Now that the protector of Yisrael was no longer among them, the enemies could gain strength. Some say the chariot and horses of fire were what he was talking about. And some say Yisrael here means Yaakov Avinu. This is the camp, Machane Elokim Zeh, that Yaakov saw and protected us from Lavan and from Esav. So my father, chariot of Yisrael and its horsemen, the protection of Klal Yisrael is gone. Below Ra'ahu Od, and he did not see him anymore. Vayachazek Bivgadav, and he took hold of his clothes, vayikra'im lishnayim kira'im, and he tore them into two pieces, like he would have mourned his own parent. Eliyahu was like a father to him. So we see from here that somebody's Rebbe passes away, a teacher of Torah has the status of a parent, and so one sits Shiva even, according to some. Some say the cloak represented the separation between Eliyahu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu had used the cloak to cover his face when Hashem passed by in Har Sinai, but now he didn't need to be divided anymore. So his cloak, his symbol of physicality, could be left behind. So now Elisha is the leader of the Nevi'im. He destroyed his old clothes to show his changed status, and now he's going to come down and start performing Nisim of his own, as we will see going forward.